everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is show number 163, and this is June 14th, 2006. Good to have you with us today. We're recording right now from the Little Ranch House studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, of course, all designed with the blind in mind. A host for the show, let me introduce to you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Going on over there today, Mr. Thomas?
I don't hear you well. Your mic must not be on.
I didn't hear him at all.
Hear him in the background.
Where is Don Shaw?
Where is Don? He left the building, I guess.
Donald?
Yeah.
All right.
There we go.
Okay, good shot.
Oh, there you are. Okay, good. Good to have you with us, Don.
Yeah.
It was the engineer's fault.
Hi, Don Patterson.
Do you want me to reintroduce Don Shaw?
No. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hi there, Thomas.
Good to have you with us,
well,
buddy.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'll tell you, you're looking at one happy camper today. Today has been a good day.
Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. I didn't win the lottery, but it's pretty
close. The UPS guy brought him a prize.
Yeah, the FedEx man came.
Really?
Yeah, when that happens.
Oh, what kind of accordion?
No, my new sound module.
Oh, sound module.
For any of you musicians out there that know anything about it, it's a Genesis XP, the sound module.
My goodness gracious.
So.
A lot of us can't afford those.
You're ready to go. That's right.
It will be an all-nighter tonight.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. I'll be playing something at 3 o'clock this morning.
I hope you have a good time. That'll be after the ball game, I imagine.
Hey, yes, sir. If the Astros keep playing like they are.
That's what I thought. But here he is, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Tom Houston, by the way. But there's the producer and the creator of the Blind Handyman Show. This is my buddy Phil Parr.
And the guy who's running the board today.
That's right.
Who managed to have Don Shaw's mic.
But you do it so well.
Switched off somewhere. I don't know how I did that. So it's one little button. And it's just lots of buttons here.
Do you push the buttons or do you slide the pots?
No, I slide the pots. I just, some way or another, I managed to push the button above his microphone and...
It muted out everything. That's it.
Just muted out your mic. Took it right out of the air. Yep. Anyway, we're all here and it's good to... Good to be here. It's hot in Texas, about 97.
Oh, man, it is.
Probably. Lord, God, it's hot.
Outside, it is hot.
So what an amazing temperature spread. Get up this morning, 64, 65. Great morning.
Oh, man, it was.
It was like a fall morning. I came out to the studio. I had a swing and I was sitting on the pool deck that needed repairing, and my wife had been on me to do it. pretty much do it or die.
Home repair projects.
So I got my little drill and... trotted out there about 6:30 this morning and thought, well, I'll fix that before she gets up, and it'll be 3 or 4 days before she notices I fixed it, which is usually the way. But anyway, it was pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, man.
Nice and cool, like a fall morning. I guess the temperature was like that in Burke, wasn't it?
Yes, it was nice out this morning. I went out early.
Did you?
And, it was real nice outside. And, just enjoyed the heck out of it. Sat out there and talked to my brother Gordon for about an hour on the phone, on the deck.
How's our man Gordon doing?
Oh, he's doing good. He's down in his back today.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, he's doing fine.
That's good. About time for him to come to Texas.
I wish he would.
He's been talking, for about a year about doing that, and hadn't managed to do it, has he?
He's thinking about selling his place there, the property that he has with his pest control company.
Yeah, Fangio let him.
Yeah, but, I don't think she has much say in this. She just won't sell the house.
Oh. He's going to sell the pest control business.
That's what he's talking about. Not the pest control business, but the property that it sits on.
Well, what's his daughter going to continue to run the business?
Probably so. Probably so.
All right. Well, here we are, all gathered together. We were going to all be together today, but Tom had an emergency and couldn't make it. You need to show up next week. Before I leave on vacation, we need to all get together.
When are you leaving?
I'm not leaving until the 8th, but we're going to do through the 20th. I think the last day we do is the 25th, isn't it?
Is that right?
Something like that. So we'll be 26th or something, so we'll have one for the 1st, and then that'll be it for a month.
For the 1st of July, you mean?
Yeah, 1st of July, and we'll take the month of July off. It'll work out. Anyway, you got list mail?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're ready.
I certainly do. I hope you guys know something about sawhorses. This guy says, am I correct? A sawhorse is used for resting wood that is to be cut.
Yeah.
I find this is a real problem, especially if space is limited And again, does one have to attach the wood to be cut firmly onto the horse? With very thin sections of wood, I find that's a problem.
I don't know what he's talking about. Sawhorses are... I mean, if you're cutting a big old 4x8 sheet of plywood, how are you going to hold it? If you're cutting it with a skill saw, you know, if you have a table saw, well, you can build tables to slide it on. But if you're cutting it with a skill saw, you've got to have something to lay it on.
I would think so.
Yeah, a sawhorse is just really a carpenter's creation to do many things. And I think the reason why they call it a horse, it's like it has four legs angled at 45 and then a spine, a spine that connects the legs. And I think that's just a slang. Many carpenters build them on the job as they go. In other words, the last thing that's left on a construction site a long time is a sawhorse. You do many things with them. There again, I'm kind of confused as to what he's trying to do. Now, if you're going to do real delicate or thin strips of wood in any length. Now, I have a friend that is a cabinet maker. Now, he has a table, not a sawhorse, and he can accommodate 8 and 12 foot lengths of wood. I mean, you know, on this one table. He has his saw kind of positioned where he can move it. So, but, I mean, that's what a sawhorse is. And you can buy them. I bought two plastic ones that are adjustable in height at Lowe's. They come in a pack of two for $29.
That is the way to go.
Which is the best deal in the world.
They fold up. And you have to be careful not to pinch your fingers if you pick them up the wrong way. But they'll adjust from 30 inches to 40, I believe 42 inches in height. The legs.
See, that would be the best thing to have. But carpenters build these, and they, you know, you're handling a big sheet of plywood. You need to lay it on something to cut it. You can't cut it on the ground, and you don't want to cut it at an angle. So a sawhorse is just something to accommodate the wood to keep it off the ground.
And back on the plastic ones from Lowe's, on each end, like when you open the horse, you have their, say, its legs at their angle standing at, and holding it level. On each end of that sawhorse, which is about a 24-inch width, there's a slot, and I put 2x6. I have two 14-foot-long 2x6s. And so I put one sawhorse 14 feet away from the other, run my 2x6s, and then you can lay your table. I put a piece of plywood and put my saw on it. But you could actually put planks. I mean, I have, in a sense, a 14-foot-long table at that point. And so that's the way you use the sawhorse. That could cut his...
But if you're cutting little pieces to build, you're cutting trim or you're cutting... some shelving material or anything like that. No, you don't need sawhorses. I mean, you don't. You know, if it's a long enough piece of shelving material, you might need a sawhorse. But if you've got a chop saw, you're cutting on a chop saw, you don't. The only reason you'd need sawhorses is if you're cutting wood with a skill saw.
Big
well, wood with a skill saw.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I make a platform out of mine, though, and I use my chop saw on them, so I can see I'm cutting some 16-foot.
Well, and they also make, I don't know if I've ever shown it to you, they make a little small workbench that folds up that you can lay wood on, and it has little dogs on it that you can fasten the wood down and cut with that also. That's for cutting smaller pieces of wood.
So I've got one like that.
Go to Home Depot. We've decided Home Depot is better for blind people.
And
oh, really?
You have also your little roller stands.
I have those roller stands that go by my table saw that will hold up the end of something. If you're sliding it across the table saw and it's too long to balance, you can just roll it on this little roller stand.
And those are handy to have.
So there's all kind of things besides sawhorses. I don't really understand quite what he's asking, though, do y'all?
But once again, we've... confuse someone.
It's our lot.
What did you say, Pat? $29?
I think I bought a... They come in a package of two, and I think $29, and I'm sure it wasn't $19, but I know it wasn't $39. So
you couldn't build them for that, I guarantee.
You couldn't. No, it's like those trusses. You couldn't build them for that.
You can pick both of them up in one hand, but, I mean, carrying one under each hand is great. They're light, but they claim the load capacity is 2,500 pounds.
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
That's really... So basically, with a little luck, we could all four get on that, and it might hold us.
Probably not.
You think not?
With a little luck.
It'd take a hell of a lot of luck with this group.
This group, wouldn't it? All right, Tommy.
Okay, I know this topic was discussed on the list a short time ago, but I need to answer another question. I'm in the process of replacing my entire roof. Current roof is the one that was installed when the house was built. And a contractor is simply going to put a new layer of shingles over the old one.
No.
Ridge vents will be installed on the second-story roof. My garage is an extension of the house, does not have the second story above it. The family room is behind the garage and also does not have the second story above it. There's an attic space above the garage and family room.
Mm-hmm.
When I asked the contractor about installing ridge vents or some other kind of vents above the garage and family room, he said it really wasn't necessary because the ridge vents above the second story of the house would be sufficient.
Okay.
This doesn't make a great deal of sense. How would the hot air above the garage and family room get up to the second story attic to be vented outside? Does anyone here have a good background in home construction? And do you have any opinion about this? Any advice? Oh, is greatly appreciated.
I have an opinion. I would change contractors immediately.
I would change contractors by this first premise. The first thing you said would make me change contractors.
Well, I think you're going to go for the roof over a roof.
Don't do that.
Well, you can. I mean, theoretically, legally, I did it on Allen. I mean, I took off the old roof, but that because the house had two roofs. You can go over one layer, so I've heard. Now, this is a Dale Campbell really expertise. I've heard you one layer fine, not two. Don't go over two sets of shingles. The vents, I would put, you need those turbo. If you can't, don't want to go in there and tear off your whole ridge thing, I would put those twirly bird vents.
Yeah.
And both of those attics need something. An end vent. Now, maybe this person has some end vents, some gable vents that they don't know about that the roofer saw. You know, maybe you have little soffit vents that are on the edge under the overhang.
Surely you do. I never saw a soffit without those vents, did you?
Well, I mean, I know I never have, but then I don't know who added on the family room and all that. And then on that low roof, you may have very well a gable vent. You have the soffit vents, and then so check on that. But if not, if you have no vents, change contractors.
You know, remember, Shaw, I think you went with me. Patterson, you may have been involved in this. We went and got those little end vents to put on. We put one up on the high end, gable end and one right above the garage.
Right.
Remember when I did that?
Uh-huh.
And then it wasn't a year or so later that I heard the home remodeling guy, used to be Tom Tynan. They've got a new guy in Houston now, who said that those vents were useless, that they cost more. They really didn't do that much good. And I never did understand his thinking there as to why. And these are just little vents that you put on the end, and they're on a temperature thing. When the temperature gets above a certain thing in the attic, they come on and start sucking air out of the attic.
Well, you know, a lot of people use fans with these thermostats. But, you know, we're into this. Like, my house, the big, has nothing but ridge vents.
Yeah.
Right? But and the way it's constructed. So in all of the construction I'm doing, I'm using ridge vents, just right down the center row.
Yep.
Leonard Peterson, I think, states there's no vents in his attic. Is that correct in the way they insulate it now? There are no outside.
I don't know that.
We need to get him as a guest. There's your.
I don't know that, but he did something completely different with his roof that's supposed to be way yonder better.
Well, yeah, they blow in the insulation up on the up in the rafters. I mean the.
Yeah.
Not the joists, the rafters. It's on the ceiling.
Yeah, we talked to Dale about that window. But I wonder what his electric bill was, because he's got a huge house.
It'd be interesting to know that, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I'd like to know what his electric bill was.
Goodness gracious, electric bills. That scares me.
Oh, yeah.
It's a scary subject lately.
We've gone to the average average billing.
But under any conditions, to finish the question, that
there
person
has to
needs
be some
kind of vent someplace.
Someplace. If it's soffit vents, if it's ridge vents, you need some ventilation somewhere. And if he says you don't, then you don't need him.
Yeah, you need two of them. Now, there's one to draft, you know, heat rises.
Yeah.
So your soffit vents. Maybe he saw a gable vent and said you didn't need.
But you know, that's putting a roof on a roof. Think how much weight that puts on your load bearing walls.
Yeah, it's extra weight.
You can do it, but man, go lift a bundle of shingles and multiply that by 10 and think how much weight extra weight that's going to put on your load-bearing walls, and that's...
I've also heard the shingles may not last as long if you put
roof on roof.
Because of the heat, more heat and all. And the
it makes sense to me that they wouldn't.
Bottom layer or something.
I wouldn't do that. I'd make a... You know, how much is it going to cost you to tear that old roof off and haul it away? What's the problem with tearing it off?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's probably worth the extra
money. I thought if you called a roofing contractor,
yeah,
and he was going to come out and do your roof, yeah. I mean, he's going to tear it off.
He's going to tear the old one off and throw it in the yard
or
he'll throw it down on his trailer, and then he'll pick up the scraps and he'll haul it off, and he'll do that for $300. Why not tear it off? Why put that extra strain on your old house there, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of extra weight.
It is. Bundle shingles, you know, these guys walk around with them, but, man, you remember when we moved?
Yeah, they're heavy.
We there was a couple left, and Sean and I, you get that in, and, you know.
last week or so, I moved 26 bundles by myself, and I had to, I had my wife's four-wheeler, and I would have to lift them, and standing flat on the ground, I was having to pick the shingles, the bundle of shingles, way up above my belt line. And there was a point where, I mean, it got severe. It was that they are heavy.
Yeah, they are heavy.
They're really heavy. I mean, you can move them. And there's, you know, those guys that did this roof here just grab a bundle, put it in there, and walk up the ladder. But the average guy, a bundle of shingles is 100-plus pounds, isn't it?
I don't think it's 100 pounds, but they're long and awkward, and especially we're using the 30-year sculptured shingles.
Yeah.
The bundles are long, like maybe 4 feet or...
Yeah.
And so they want to bend in the middle, you know, and you can't get your hands on each end.
Yeah. All right, Tommy.
Oh, should you have the air ducts in your home cleaned?
No.
No?
I don't know.
No?
No.
You think no?
I would think yes.
Well, there are a lot of people that do that, and I don't. It, what could it? You know, it's like giving.
It doesn't hurt, I guess, but I've heard people say on the other hand that it just doesn't really do that much good
it
either.
It depends on if you have the coil springs and the tinfoil ones. It you don't want to do that because it'd destroy them.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
other kind, if you had a fire like when Emily's kitchen burnt, you know, and so she had Dennis Dutton out there with his crew, because that was all part of the insurance coverage. They did that. If you had a fire or something like that and just needed to remodel, but I don't think I think if you did the, what are you supposed to put in your pan on your air conditioner, the chlorine?
Put a chlorine chamber in there.
I don't, you know, it depends on how much mold and all that. You know, the black mold scare got all out of hand down here. I have mixed emotions. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't pay the expense.
Because it is expensive. I mean, it does.
Yeah,
it is not a cheap thing. I think we had ours done, but I think Luann, maybe the guy was getting a divorce or something. She traded him out. Because I remember saying, Bull, I'm not paying that kind of money. And she said, well, I think the guy was good. We ran onto some guy that did this, wanted a divorce, and she traded it out or something. But we had ours clean. I couldn't tell any difference. Because, you know, when you're out in the yard and you walk back in your house, everybody's house has a certain odor, has a certain smell, fresh smell.
Depending on how many dogs you have.
depending on how many dogs you have. And I could not detect when because my house has got a lot of cedar in it. I don't know if you all notice this from week to week. When you come to my house, you smell that cedar.
Yeah.
But you come in my house, it has a distinctive cedar, and I couldn't tell any difference in the odor of my house or the efficiency of the air conditioner. I wouldn't have paid $400.
That's kind of what I've heard. It's just not really worth it.
I wouldn't have paid $400 to have it done, but I hope the guy's happy with his ex-wife.
Unless you ever got vent, your vents.
Well, he said he couldn't tell any difference
either. That's what I heard.
That was the last report we got.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we'd heard, but, you know, it's a lovely lady. But we're going to move along here. Tommy?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, and God bless you.
You too.
And try to shape up next week.
We'll do the best we can.
Come, and, you know, I got an interesting story to tell you about going across the river, which I'll impart to you later. Thanks, sir.
Okay, guys.
All right, Tommy. Thanks, Tommy. All right, we're still here. That's Don Shaw and Don Patterson. I'm Phil Parr, and we're going to do a little more of this in just a minute. Hang on. Got a guest coming up. Going to talk about mowing the lawn. Stand by.
Wings. two friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping your big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Well, the luck of the draw, occasionally you get a little vocal there, and we happen to have gotten one. We're using the, we're using the Sirius satellite, I mean, not Sirius, but the Dish Network satellite feed, channel 168 or something. I think it's 168, the Jazz, and they play a vocal about every fourth one. So.
Yeah, every once in a while you'll hit that.
Anyway, Bill Holden is our guest today. How are you, sir?
Not bad.
Is that good? Where are you located?
A little relieved. I'm in Gainesville. We hurricane passed us by.
Gainesville, Florida.
Right. Yep.
And the hurricane just zipped on by.
Oh, we got some much-needed rain, but that was about it. The fig tree is happy.
Fig tree.
I bet you.
I imagine. And what is your level of vision?
Total.
Have you been all your life?
No, not until I was in mid-20s. Well, I was riding a bike longer than I should have, but, you know, stopped being able to read print in high school. And then.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
But you, so you just kind of gradually lies, kind of just faded away.
More or less. I had a few accidents that kind of ended it. But
that helped it along a little bit.
Walk into things, you know.
As we all have,
yep.
You know.
Yeah.
I was telling this story, I got a friend who rode a bike through a plate glass window.
Whoa.
Man. That would have been no fun, would it?
That wouldn't have been good
nope.
at all.
Gainesville, Florida. Well, you're in South, so you get hot weather just like we do.
Oh, yeah. Air conditioner's been on for about a month and a half.
And
yeah.
you also get the subject that we want to talk about, which is long grass growing.
Yeah, particularly heavily. After the rain.
After the rain. But you have bought. Tell us about your purchase. The thing
I didn't buy it. I had the nice gig of being gadget guy for a magazine a couple of years ago, and they sent it to me to review.
No kidding.
Yeah. So the robo mower, and they let me keep it, and I don't use it anymore because how it worked.
Yeah.
Because my dogs just dig too many holes in the backyard.
Is that right?
I've got two dogs, and they like to dig after the moles.
And and so they dig too many holes, so that renders it useless, or that?
It has a problem. Anyway, it's the robo mower.
Yeah.
And I had one of the original ones, and I really have no front yard grass because I've got oak trees all through the front, and where there is grass is a hill, huge hill, and it does have a problem with hills. But we set it up in the backyard, and what it comes with is a great big old spool of wire and a little control box, and you take the wire. And, you know, I did it with my soon-to-be father-in-law. You kind of lay it around the outlines of the yard with little stakes that, you know, go flush with the ground. And if you've got something like a flower bed in the middle of the yard or something, you, like, come out with the wire, go around it, and then come back on the same place because somehow when the wire is doubled, the robo-mower ignores it. So, and then you kind of, you know, get that all wired, and it goes into a control box that, you know, uses C batteries, which, of course, we didn't have.
Uh-huh.
And so you put, you power that up, and then you bring the old robo-mower out. It looks like a little cart. It's got, like, casters on the front. At least the one I had did. And I'll tell you, I've learned more about the newer models, but... Mm-hmm. You're gonna need some sighted help to kind of set it up because apparently it has to like check the sky and see where it is.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back and forth. But it's really cute when you get it running. You know, you push the button and it gets a little drum roll and then a da 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 da.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Now, is it? It does not run off of that C battery. Is it? Is it?
No, it's
solar
running
power?
Off basically. I guess it's all you know, like the same battery that's in a riding lawnmower.
Right.
And it's rechargeable. And I am told that the new ones have a little bay, so you just kind of program it when you want it to go out. And it'll go out every day if you want and cut and then come back and recharge itself.
Okay, I thought they were like solar-powered, some of them.
No, I think that's upcoming.
Okay.
But anyway, so when you start it, it kind of circles the yard twice. It kind of, you know, it kind of goes slowly around. And it's really cute. It follows the wire and it goes around twice. And then when it's done with that, it just kind of takes off into the wild blue yonder. It kind of, like, cuts out across the yard.
Hopes for the best, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And when it gets to the other side, it just kind of takes a slight angle and cuts that way and cuts this way. And if it hits, like, a tree or something, it bounces off it and takes off in another direction. So you're not going to get those nice, neat lines, but eventually it cuts everything.
Really? How does it know it's cut everything, though?
Well, I time out. You know, after about 3 or 4 hours, you just kind of let it run.
Yeah.
For those with sight, you know, it's got a little yellow. Mine had a little yellow flashy light, so you can cut it at night.
So let me ask you this: Does yours like how long would it run on a charge?
I think it ran. I don't remember ever having it completely drained.
Okay. All right. But you say it has to look at the sky, so it has a GPS.
I don't think. I'm not sure. The newer ones might. This just kind of. I don't know what it was reckoning to.
All right. Now the flashing light, was that to protect the person from the lawnmower? Because I had also seen on the ones I read about that, like if your pet approached it or if it would stop.
Boing and then it stopped.
It stopped.
So it's real sensitive.
Okay.
I think the light was just a cute little touch.
Just a touch, yeah. Okay.
The problem I did have with it was, you know, like I said, I got a lot of holes in the backyard, and I've got some sycamores out back, which kind of destroy the grass with huge roots. And it would get stuck there and stop. And it's like looking for an electric car in a parking lot, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And yeah. What I wound up doing was I had this little beeper I'd gotten somewhere before where, you know, you got the little thing and it beeps on the other unit.
So you put that on the robo-mower.
Yeah, I kind of tucked that down in the battery compartment.
Because you were out there swinging your cane around.
Well, a stick, yeah.
Swinging a stick. I've done that.
And
swinging.
Trying to get one of those two pesky dogs to help you find it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they
think we're playing with the stick.
It's like me changing the light. There are two lights on this porch out here that's on this building, and I never can remember. I change them once a year. I never can remember where the damn things are. So I'm there feeling the ceiling with my cane, looking for the hole where the light bulb is, you know.
Well, you better pray you got the bulb in the socket. And not the power on.
Yeah, that's pretty blind. And if somebody drive up, what could he possibly be?
Well, I got you beat. Once a long time ago, I had an extension cord and it was frayed.
Yeah.
And I figured I'm going to pull it apart and put electrical tape around it.
Sure.
And you know, you pull it apart and you pull it apart and it won't come. So what do you do with naturally?
Jerk it. Really?
No, you put it in your mouth.
Oh,
did you now?
Yeah, and you should always unplug it before you do something like that.
Yeah, that would hurt.
You should have unplugged it before you started this. So you put it in your mouth and it got you, did it?
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a deal.
But anyway, I think if you had a flat lawn, I would have one of these in a heartbeat.
In the ideal, with the ideal lawn, flat lawn, like a golf course, they'd
or
work wonderful.
Even reasonable. You know, mine is really not reasonable. Sycamore trees, I'm told, kind of, you can see where the circle, sycamores put out poison to kill grass. So I don't have a lot of grass in the backyard, and like between that and the dogs and the, you know, little sink areas in Florida, of course.
The one I saw, and I can't remember brand name, and I'm sure there's several, I'm certain was solar powered, and after you put your wire and everything up, it looked kind of like a large turtle, or a large, you know, on wheel. I mean, if that's kind of... and I know I too, by the way, you know, they make vacuum cleaners on the same principle. Mm-hmm. Battery powered, obviously, not solar. But
yep.
This particular lawnmower ran quiet, I'm sure yours did if it was, I mean, like you could do it at night, and it just kind of stayed in your yard, and then the sun charged it, and then it you could set a timer to, like, mow at night. So a lot of people preferred the mowing at night, and it just kind of went at random, you know, trees and...
Yeah, I had not seen that one. I remember reading about it like it was upcoming in like Discover magazine several years ago, but that would be cool too.
Well, you'd want to put it up. You wouldn't want it to rain on the thing, would you?
New one, I'm told, you know, it goes into the little charging station, and if it's programmed to come out and it detects rain, it doesn't go out. And if it starts to rain, apparently the new one, if it starts to rain, it runs for cover.
Runs into its little shed. Let me ask you this. Forgetting about the patterns that it did, was the cutting ability of it acceptable?
Yeah. I have a lot of... That's my call waiting. It's going to do it again in a few minutes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It
seemed to really cut well. I mean, it made up for in doggedness what it lacked in aim.
And so are we talking a 20-inch cut about?
About, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's...
And I'm told the new one also, I talked to the guy yesterday from the company. I read on the little thing that the new one you can actually use as a power mower, too. I don't know if it's got a little handle or direction. Yeah, now they do. Like I said, they do require some programming, and I don't know how the new one is. The old one, I knew the button to push three times to start that little da 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 da.
And it actually does that. Sounds like, you know, when my wife opened her Visa bill last month, I heard a drum roll.
Yeah, mine said something about a firstborn male child.
I didn't understand that at all.
Let me ask you one more question.
Sure.
In a description, what is the noise level? What would you equate it to?
Oh, a washing machine running.
Okay. Oh, yeah? Okay.
That's not bad.
So easy for a blind person to hear where it is.
Yeah. But like I said, you want to have something on it. I would to find it if it stops.
If it stops. That was a good idea.
Yeah, that was.
Because if not, you're out there, like I said, with a stick.
I was out there several times before I figured that out.
Looking for it. But how did you happen to get chosen as a person to be a test guy?
I'm a magazine writer, and a friend of mine gave me a gig as a gadget guy. So I was getting all these cool toys in the mail. I got, you know, the wireless weather station.
That's neat, man.
Yeah, the magazine folded, which was sad because, you know, it was a lot of fun.
That is sad. Yeah, what a deal.
Now, this was a magazine for handicapped people?
No, it was a magazine put out by the same people who put out Girls Life. It was called Adam. It was like a high-class naughty pictures men's magazine.
Uh-huh.
What a deal.
And you're a magazine writer.
Yep, I write for... I do a contest page now for Women's World magazine.
Have I gotten an email from you?
Yeah, I sent you a few stories before.
You know, you have.
Yeah.
And I have never contacted you, but you sent me three or four people that...
Yeah, I wrote features for Women's World for many years.
And got paid for it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on
what a deal.
The magazine's in Jersey. I'm in Florida. I'm on staff. I got like that 2-hour commute to work past the kitchen, past the living room.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. What a deal.
Yeah, and you go to your computer
and then turn right.
Yeah.
Where do you get the information for your articles?
It was a lot of leads they would generate, or I would generate, just, you know, true life stories, medical miracles, all that sort of thing.
So do you still, now you're just doing the contest thing?
Yeah, I do a contest.
Was that by a preference? Did you just get tired of doing what?
Well, the column I was writing kind of ended, so, and this came up, and I wanted to do it, so.
Still working in Florida, and they're still in Jersey?
Yep.
Okay. Boy, what a deal.
Can't beat that deal.
Boy, no. You can't beat a deal. I don't know any other blind person, I'm sure there are, that are able to make a living as a writer.
Well, I think you've interviewed a few reporters.
Yeah, come think of it, there is a girl who works for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell, I meant to email you, I got so many, you wouldn't believe the amount of people that want to do that show. I get two or three people a month, and it just kind of stack up, and sometimes it's a year before I get back to somebody that because you can't take them first come first serve. We seem to have a dearth of men. There aren't enough women for some reason that do the show. I don't know if it's because of me and the way I interview, or what it is. But we don't have enough, don't seem to have enough girls in there. There would be, you'd think, just as many blind girls as there would blind guys.
You think so, sure.
Think so.
So, you know, and they're working too. They got to make a living the same as the rest of us. And so, anyway, I had intended to get, but I couldn't tell from your emails if you were blind. That's what I couldn't figure out.
Yeah.
And so you are. Well, that's good. That's good. I'll be in touch, and we'll. I think your story would probably make a good blind like me. One
of
these
days.
Would
be a good blind like me segment.
I would think so.
On the other hand, I'm always looking for a blind handyman guest. On the other hand, so
okay.
So that's it's really kind of funny.
Yeah, I think I gave you guys the phone number for the one guy in Washington.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, I
you sure did.
Sent that along.
Did we do him? Have we done him already?
Not yet. Oh. He's coming up this month, in fact.
Oh, good.
Yeah, when you figure we do about 80 to 90 shows a year, then you got to have 80 to 90 guests.
Yep, I know what you're feeling. I do 3 giveaways a week, and I got like 150 things to give away every year.
Yeah.
Wow.
So other than lawnmowers, what do you like to tinker with?
Try not to screw up home repairs too bad.
Yeah, well, that's good. You can't.
I got laughed at last week, though. I found, you know, the little screws with the center slot instead of the...
like Phillips?
No, yeah, like a Phillips.
Like
but
the stars?
This one, though, you can stick the screwdriver on it. You can wave that screw around.
No,
okay, yeah, I bought. They had like a handyman set of like 1,200 different size screws and stuff for $70. And
okay.
Everybody was laughing at me until they needed the screws.
Okay, so it has all these kind of screws in it.
Yeah, it's a special kind of screw with the. Think of a screw with like an Allen wrench on the for the hole.
Okay.
All right. So that would be almost like a star drive.
Yeah.
There's a name for those.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
I can't either. And so you bought 1,200.
Yeah, they had like a handyman set. Yeah. It was like 12 different boxes of 12 different, you know.
See, that's the deal. You know, they make fun of it. Because every time I go to the hardware store, I buy a pound of drywall screws of some sort.
Uh-huh.
And I've got probably 10 drawers that have little drawers that have screws. And they make fun of me till they need one on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
I keep asking my lady for a chop saw, but she says I can't have one. But I'm going to get one anyway.
No, why not?
Hey, I need one.
I don't know. She let me put, you know, I have a chainsaw. She doesn't mind that. But,
That would hurt you worse than your chops.
I wouldn't.
Electric chainsaws. Those are kind of nice.
I had an electric chainsaw.
Out of town. Well, so what do you, you cut your own firewood or what?
No, we had a lot of rib tips around the backyard. And the only time I hurt myself was when I wasn't using the chainsaw.
Yeah. And she's afraid you'll hurt yourself with a chop saw.
No, I think she's just giving me grief.
No, you won't. We've all three
great
got
tool
one.
Have.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking for the right one.
We all three have chop saws, and that little compound miter saw from Sears is, I think, good as any.
If money is not an object, I would buy a 12-inch one instead of a 10-inch.
I would, too.
I have a sliding compound miter saw, which, I mean, it pulls out like 2 feet or something, but still you have some difficulty with certain size lumber, and mine's a 10-inch. So, I mean, for an extra 100 and a half, if you can afford it and we're really going to, I would get the 12-inch.
Yeah, Phil, you were speaking about Sears. I found something neat there a few months ago. It's a socket organizer that has magnets in it, so you can lay all your sockets out in order.
Really?
So when you need that next size... It's right there, and it's magnetized, so it's not going to fall out of the case.
Yeah, you've done it once, you're in
exactly.
good shape. Yeah, mine, man, I just take whatever I'm gonna the bolt I need a nut for, and just keep going through until I find. So I've got parts of 3 different sockets.
That's
yeah, and when you need that next size up, you can't find it.
You're going to always be missing your quarter inch and your 5/16. You're never going to find that. That sucker, mine is gone forever.
Well, I suspect I'm like a lot of guys. I like buying tools more than actually using them.
Yeah. Well, I didn't used to be that way. I used to use them a lot. I've just gotten to where... But now we went to... where did we go? We went to Home Depot, maybe. No, we went to the Brookshire's.
Abney's.
And up front at Brookshire's, there's a deal up front. You know, I guess they have things that people put on consignment at the grocery store that's up front, because this was homemade by some guy. This is a cedar thing that fits over your trash can.
I've seen those.
So, of course, my wife, our house is cedar, so she went boing. Look at this, Philip. They want $89. I told her I could probably build it for 120 or 30.
Big mouth.
So I guess I'm going to end up big. But I used to use tools when I bought them. Now I don't know.
Do you know, speaking of those wooden things, they're doing ice by old soda water. Remember, not the upright that you put your money in and the soda water comes out. But do you remember the kind that were flat, big, and you slid the soda pop out of the trough?
Yes.
You know, now somebody is taking those and kind of revising them, making ice chests, and they're putting wood
around the edge.
A lot of people are doing their ice chests now in elaborate wood schemes.
Yeah. Don't tell my wife about that. I guess I'm going to end up building. I've actually got some cedar I can build.
$89, you should have let her do it.
I tried to get her to buy it. She wouldn't do it. Oh, you got it. Well, Chop, you can build that. Well, you know how the cedar box went that we put the tool stuff in. It's not Bill. I think I've got enough cedar left. This isn't a very big deal. I can build this in
two
or three weeks. It ought to be.
Build two or three a day or something.
Listen, we need to talk. And we will. I've got three. I looked through the guest file this morning. I think there are three things that you've sent me, and I'll be in touch. Don's got your phone number, and I'll give you a call. And we get back off vacation. I want to do your life, and you can send us some candidates.
Okay. I missed your name at the beginning.
Bill.
Huh?
Bill.
All right, Bill, I'm Don Patterson. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I met you.
You too.
And is it Holden or Holton?
Holton with a T.
Holton. Bill Holton.
What part of Florida?
It's like south, north, central, Gainesville.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, watch out for those hurricanes.
We'll
send you another one before the season's over. Bill, thank you, sir, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you.
All right. Bill Holton, our guest, and what a guy. Writing, making a living as a writer, blind person.
What a fine job. Now, that's got to be cool.
It's got to be. I mean, really I want to know how he got to the job as a writer.
Yeah, it should be an interesting story for blind
very
like me. A great
guest.
Story.
Very good guest.
Yeah. Articulate fellow seems to be taking care of business as a blind person. Totally blind. All right, we're going to talk about trusses and things of that nature. Maybe we can tell, is it Lauren Buntmeyer, I think, wanted to know, but I'll give you his email, where you got the trusses. We'll be back to talk about that in just a minute with more of our Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping your big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is BlindMySmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com. Are you on the Blind Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
such nice, happy music to bring us back with the last portion, the third half of the Blind Handyman Show. Don Patton, these trusses. We've been trussing for months.
We have, haven't we?
I promise not to talk about them again if you've introduced
them. We don't mind.
If it's my turn.
We don't mind. It's your turn,
okay.
Sir. We don't mind a bit.
You know, sometimes if I have a big project to do, I sort of play little games with myself. And trust me, I mean no ethnic slurs, but one time I had this large pile of rocks to be moved. I mean, humongous, 15, 20 yards. And I said, you know, if 10,000 Chinese, well, everybody got a handful, sucker would be gone in a heartbeat.
Sure.
Quickly. Well, so I had the remaining half of my trusses. I built two structures, and I bought an equal number of trusses that would fit, accommodate those, 21 per. So I bought 42 trusses. Mm-hmm. I finished one structure, I mean, to where it stands now. It has the roof on it. And I was faced with the daunting task of doing this one. And I was trying to figure out, last time it was three of us. We rented a forklift that was expensive, and it took us 2 or 3 days and bummed elbows and bummed knees. And so I said, where are my 10,000 people?
Yeah.
I need to get these off the ground. They're sitting here. They're going to ruin. They're going to warp. I never unbundled them from their metal straps, so that saved me. Anyway,
we saw them over there the day we came.
That's right. And so I decided, you know, Phil and I have also had this discussion. There's nothing any more useless than a son-in-law or brother-in-law unless you can get something out of them. I mean, that's, God love them.
My toolbar and brother-in-law. Yeah.
So what I did is I wrote an email to our two sons and two son-in-laws. And I said, I challenge you to participate in the favorite son and son-in-law contest. And I want you to know the response was amazing. Everybody wanted to be that. I guess they thought I was getting ready to croak off and leave them abandoned.
Yeah, writing that will.
Well, we got lucky. Anyway, and so I said, there's four of them. And with me, that's five. And one of the son-in-laws had just purchased a new tractor, it's a new used tractor. But they just want to show that toy off. They want to bring it and show. So he brought his tractor. I had to rent nothing. And what we did is everybody, when we got on the job site, another thing, I promised them Friday night's meal and entertainment and booze, and then Saturday was work day, and then Saturday night's meal and entertainment, and then Sunday everybody would go home because I would help them leave. And anyway, I guarantee you, after Friday night, Saturday morning, 7:30, they're there. I mean, they're all there. The tractor's purring, you know, Grunt's got a front-end loader on it.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, well, we stationed every person to a position. We had the structures 40 feet long, so we had on each 20-foot side, I mean, on the 20-foot across, we had a ladder, and the trusses were going to sit on 24-inch centers. I was on the far ladder, and then we had a guy on the... And what we did is we put the trusses on a pickup truck laying flat. And so now they're 21 feet long, so they were sticking out on each side of this truck about 6 feet or seven trucks, maybe 8 feet wide, 6 feet wide.
You laid them across the top rails of the pickup truck.
Well, the back of the bed. And it's a real big Ford truck. It's high. And then the owner of the truck, Chad, number one, stood up on the toolbox, which made him even higher. He fed the first link to the guy on the first ladder, got it up on top. Then we had a person, Daniel, number two son, standing up in the bucket on the front end loader in the center. That's the key guy. He slid it to me. I was on the far ladder. And we had a tractor driver who could move Daniel forward or backwards. And
you know, knowing Daniel, that was a good place for him.
Well, and let me tell you,
he's
very good at that, and he's the only guy at the end, I'm going to tell you. And so then
he's the only one that had balance enough to do that.
Well, yeah, and he did something else, which I'll tell you. Anyway, each truss required four screws on each side.
Yeah.
So we had the ladder guys. I was one, and then Michael was the other. He's another son-in-law with the tractor, the owner of the tractor. He said, this really gives me justification for buying that tractor.
Yeah.
And so I had the smart stick, I called it. I'd cut a stick 10 inches long, and when I lined that up on the front side, it also lined up the back side of how much overhang we had on the truss. then, boy, with electric cordless drills.
Well, wait a minute. You had to measure between them after you put the first one up.
No, the length that they were going to stick over the
okay,
metal
rail.
Okay,
because they're on hangers. They have slots they fit in on top, on the roof?
Well, we had metal brackets welded onto the metal frame.
So there was no measuring between them?
No, that was set on 24-inch centers automatically.
I got you.
And so, boy, zip, zip. Anyway, to make a long story short.
Yeah.
We put up 21 trusses in 55 minutes.
Wow.
Daniel, when he got there Friday, and he's the guy I would have not taken, you know, I was like, what does he know? Daniel says, I think we can do it in about an hour, hour and a half. Everybody else said, 5 or 6 hours because of our previous experience. 55 minutes later, we were with permission from from the warden. We were in the pool drinking beer.
That's amazing.
The trusses were up, and I said, how about, let's get in the pool and drink beer. And that's what we did all day. Well, everybody was kind of taking a nap by 1 o'clock.
So
every 2 minutes, I was the old, doddering old guy in the group. I finally had to say, stop. Let me catch up. And then,
amazing.
I mean, they were just getting them. You know.
Well, there's nothing to it. The brackets are there, and you don't have to measure. You just put it in the bracket and screw it down.
There's nothing like manpower. I just couldn't pick them up. By myself.
Yeah.
But you got 5 guys in the proper height lifter.
And all he had to do was stick one end up on the roof.
Up on the first, then Michael slid it to Daniel. Daniel slid it to me. I measured my stick. I'd say, nail it. Not like, book 'em, Dano. I'd say, nail it. And then we'd move on to the ladder, the
that
two ladder
really
guys.
Neat.
But here's the thing. All right, we've got it coming off the truck.
Yeah.
And it's up on the edge of the roof, the top, and then the guy's pulling it up. Then it's out in midair for a ways.
No, not really, because the toolbox on Chad's truck is so high. And this was another good thing. On my pavilion, we were 9 feet tall.
Man, he was up. Tell me where he was.
All right, we were 9 feet tall on the pavilion. The dog pen is 8 feet tall.
Okay, I got your point.
Chad,
but where was the truck?
Chad drove up parallel to the 40-foot length. In other words, we were going across that, the 20-foot width, with the trusses.
Yeah.
So Chad had the trusses. His truck was parallel to the 40-foot side.
And at 8 feet, his head was above
standing on his toolbox,
he was above it.
And he's short, and then Daniel was in the bucket, and the bucket was holding him steady at about 7 feet.
Yeah.
So Daniel had all of his muscle power up where we needed him to be to steady it. And so Chad went to Michael. Davey was driving the tractor.
You know, they did it in 15 minutes. You might have said it was so easy.
No, 50.
You might have said it was so easy, I think I'm going to withdraw the night meal.
Well, no, I actually did that as a joke. I got Emily. We came out there, and I said, Emily, you haven't ordered the Mexican food yet, have you?
For tonight?
I said, I think maybe some of these folks may be leaving.
What a deal.
Everybody said, I mean, honest to God, we were in the pool soaking up suds at 9 o'clock a.m.
It's ready to be decked.
Doing the lathing. I'm going to do that by myself, take my time.
Are you?
And I'm going to be interrupted by a sound module's arrival. won't much get done tomorrow.
You're convinced that lathing is the best way.
That was the only way for me. I mean, it holds them together without doing a lot of sophisticated
bracing.
You can get
them up there good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it would do that. But then the deck would be laying on the lath instead of the truss.
Well, in between the laths, I'm putting 3/4-inch foil insulation, see?
Okay.
And then the boards lay down. And I guarantee you, it could be 98 out on the deck of the pool by where the sun is. You walk under my pavilion, which is the same way I did it. You're talking, it's 10 degrees different. I mean, it's nice and comfy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, that's kind of the saga. Nothing like manpower or, you know, every time you do a project, it always gives me, I just always think, boy, 10,000 of anybody could knock
make it
this
quick.
Out.
And we got, you know, and I know there are companies all around that do, and this company happened to be in Carthage? Where is it? It's in
we have one. They're all anywhere in the timber company. I don't know where our guy lives, but I will get in touch with him. This company is out of Shreveport, Louisiana, and it's something like Southern Pine Lumber, but it's not because that's here, or used to be.
Yeah, that's still here.
But they're a big timber company, And that may be it.
Yeah.
Maybe it is them over there.
Could be.
And they just, they built, they're all uniform. They were, it is a very good product. They delivered them to me.
Oh, they were beautiful.
Even in the increase of the fuel cost.
That was a deal.
42 of them, about 2,400 and change.
Yeah.
They were beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't see how they build them for that.
I don't either.
It just.
And so that was kind of the deal. It's, And we had a good time. I enjoyed the kids being there. They did. Their children were all at camp. So we just had four couples with two little bitty small babies, and Emily loved it.
I bet she did, because that was all her kids.
Yeah.
Wasn't all her kids, but it was most of her kids. And it was all her kids, wasn't it?
Four of them. Four out of six.
Four out of six, yeah. and they were all happy, and lots of food, and
we
lots of beer. And
had a great
lots
time.
Lots of beer.
Trusses were up. So you're gonna hire somebody to deck this thing?
To roof it. The roofer will deck it.
A roofer will deck
and shingle it.
Right.
So that's going to be done.
And all the shingles and decking I have.
All right, Lauren Buntmeyer, we're gonna email you the address of the phone number and address of the company that makes these trusses, sir. We'll do that for you. Anyway, thank you, Don Shaw, for showing up and helping me out, and Don Patterson.
That's right. I'm gonna go Sarah. Play the new sound module.
Got Sarah to bring you and got over here, so you're not staying for a libation after
the
show.
No, she's coming at 5. Something.
Coming
it's
at 5.
That's usual. Yeah.
All right. Well,
I'll
thank
be
you, guys.
Around.
We appreciate you. Maybe we'll be full crew next week and. I don't know if we'll have Susie or not, but we'll have her before our little summertime break. We thank you for listening. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.